On today's episode, the boys will talk Colts basketball, boys and girls. They'll do an NFL recap and a look ahead. And they'll talk pro and college hoops, topic of the week with Mikey Stats, and a lot more. Let's do it. Inside the studio on a lazy Thursday here in the Colts West Radio studio. I'm Douglas Satuco alongside Benjamin Dixon. Constantine with us, filling in for Brian, who's at LAX right now. And I'm Mike Garafa, our trusty producer as always. Colts Corner Podcast here. We got a lot to talk about with the Colts basketball. Boys playing pretty well to start the season.
Oh, yeah. And 5-1, the boys are going into the season, and they just came off an 89-59 drubbing of West Babylon, and it wasn't even that close because if my math checks out correctly, they were up 76-35. I'll get back to you on that one at the end of the third quarter, something like that. Crazy margin. And really just an unbelievable performance from the Colts. They're averaging 83 points per game this season, which is just unreal, unheard of in high school basketball. And just some of those star players from that win over West Babylon. Colby Jordan, 22 points, 5 rebounds, pretty good stat line for him. Also has had five assists in that game. You got Jalen with 16 points, Brent Bland with 13, and Cedric Gordon with 10. Cedric Gordon contributing on the court. Obviously, we talked about him a lot during the football season. Another one of those classic two-sport Hills West stars. And you just love to see the Colts succeeding 5-1 overall, 2-1 in league play so far. They play tomorrow night at Eastport South Manor, 5:45, to close out the week. So I'm excited to see them keep playing. We'll get out, do a game soon. I know we had some delays with the broadcast, but we'll get out there. And I'm excited to see how the season turns out.
Yeah, boys off to a great start. And so are the girls, who are surging forward here in the early part of the season.
Yeah, right now, girls basketball, 3-0, undefeated so far in their conference. Last game against West Babylon, it was a pretty close game, 52-46. Robertson and Ross, both 16 points. But so far this season, they're dominating. You know, undefeated record speaks for itself right now. And I believe that they'll just continue.
So the Lady Colts and the boys off to a great start for both squads. The girls have their next game, let's see, the 21st. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock, they're home against Eastport South Manor. So come out, support the Colts in the gym. And if you haven't already looked at the winter print that just came out just before the holidays, the roundup, we produced a winter print. We've got a winter sports preview, a look into how all the teams are doing so far, some quotes from some of the athletes. So if you haven't looked at that yet, take a look. They're in the library, copies all around the school. Pick that up. It's a great read, and enjoy what the members of the roundup have compiled together in this print. So Hills West Sports off to a nice start. Let's go to the professional level. NFL recap. A couple good games last week. What do we want to jump into? What do we got? What are we thinking? We could talk.
I think we definitely have to talk about the Eagles going into LA.
Totally.
Nick Foles, the Super Bowl MVP, taking down the L.A. Rams on the road. And, man, let's be honest, the Rams have been horrible.
Their offensive line is the real problem. They can't block anybody. And you know what? Jared Goff could be a star in the league. But if you look at...
He's not playing like one right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. But if you look at all these good teams in the league, and I've said this throughout the year, if the offensive line is solid, if they protect the quarterback, the team can be successful. That's what happens in the NFL. Look at the Steelers. They have 3 Pro Bowlers on their offensive line, and Big Ben has so much time to sit back and pass the ball to the weapons like Juju and AB or whoever is available. Eli Rogers coming back off the pup list. We'll get back into that when we talk Steelers. But offensive line is huge in the NFL, and right now LA seems a little discombobulated on offense, not as explosive as before, and their defense letting him down a little bit. But Aaron Donald's a spectacular player on that defensive side. They'll figure it out. I think they'll figure it out. They might make a run. Sean McVay's a genius on the offensive side of the ball, and I think they'll they'll figure out their problems.
Look, I think this is just a minor setback for the Rams right now. You know, their offensive line really not up to par with some of the other more dominant offensive lines in the league right now. But I think they're finally going to recognize the situation they're in. They're going to recognize that, hey, guys, we need to play better now. Our offensive line needs to be more solid. And I really think that, once again, Jared Goff, he could be a star quarterback in this league. And when the offensive line's going to get back soon, I'd watch out for them this playoff season.
Yeah, I totally agree. Great win for the Eagles. Can't discredit that. But the Rams were going at home against that no-name Philly secondary that we've been talking about. And for the Rams, I mean, they got what they have. In the next 2 weeks, they got the Cardinals on the road and the Niners at home. So if that doesn't get them back into shape before the playoffs, I'm not really sure what will. And those are definitely, I guess you could say, tune-ups going into the postseason before they're, you know, they're probably going to get the bye.
Yeah.
Unless barring an epic collapse, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they got to get that run game working. Todd Gurley runs that offense, and without him producing big games, big numbers, they could continue to struggle. So let's move on. After our last podcast, last Thursday, that night, we had a great game between the L.A. Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Both teams sit at 11-3. KC still first in that AFC West, but the Chargers showing some stuff. Showing the type of team they are, the grit. Phillip Rivers playing great football, looking maybe like an MVP candidate this year. They've got three lethal weapons at the wide receiver position in both Williams, Mike, and Tyrell, and, of course, Keenan Allen. Melvin Gordon hasn't even played recently. They went with Justin Jackson. The guy's proved some stuff, proved himself here in the league, and they're expected to get Melvin Gordon back this week. He probably won't be himself, as that's what the coach said this week, but he should be in there if that has any implication on your fantasy championship round, but that should really help them. Again, another tool on their offense. Yeah.
Yeah, check out the fantasy football breakdown. We did that earlier, last episode of the year. Very sad for
very emotional
Doug, Mike, and I. But let us know if you want us doing some more shows or what. We will be doing more shows. What type of shows throughout the winter and going into the spring?
We will get that on the Instagram. I'll put that up, requests for shows. And hopefully we get to do some good ones. We were thinking about maybe a baseball show, but we don't necessarily have to do one every day. We could do different ones throughout the week to kind of expand.
Of course. And back to that game. I mean, the story of that game, Keenan Allen, not even playing, got hurt, exited the game. Mike Williams really stepped up. 7 receptions, 76 yards, 2 touchdowns, and obviously the game-winning 2-point conversion where he was left wide open. And I don't think it's crazy to say right now, and this is my opinion, you look at the way the Rams are playing, you look at the way the Saints are playing, the Chargers just played the Chiefs, the Pats not up to par. The Chargers are playing like the best team in the NFL right now. I'm not saying they are the best team in the NFL, but they're playing the best football in the league right now. And in my opinion, that's just undeniable. Rivers has been great, and just people just stepping up in spots. Justin Jackson with Eckler and Gordon out, just talent all around, and they've really been coming together and really playing well, and are definitely a Super Bowl contender heading into the postseason.
But the Chargers got a tough matchup this weekend. They got to try and slow down Lamar Jackson, who's been on fire recently. He's been in the top 10, and he's just been doing very well. He's been managing to get a lot of rushing yards, and that's definitely going to be a problem if the Chargers manage to slow him down, and they might be able to keep this hot streak alive.
Mikey stats.
There we go, Mike. And
completely winging it.
Chiefs also have a tough game though this week at Seattle. No gimme.
I mean, those are two difficult matchups. Baltimore is fighting for a playoff spot right behind the Steelers, who play the Saints this week. I mean, that's not a give me.
Oh, of course not.
It's not a give me right there. I mean, the Saints.
Balti's been playing great.
The Saints, yeah, totally. Saints coming off a hard-fought loss on Monday night against Carolina, which pushes Carolina out of the playoff contention. Cam Newton will sit out for the rest of the year. Clearly banged up, if we'll go to that game. I mean, Cam Newton just struggled. Looked like he couldn't really, his accuracy was off, couldn't get a lot of power from his lower body. He normally doesn't even. He's mostly an all-arm thrower. Didn't really get his legs into his throws. Very inaccurate and really struggled. I mean, that was some of the worst football I've ever seen Cam Newton play.
Well, you know, the Panthers really not have been themselves this year. You know, Cam Newton really hasn't had a year, far cry from the MVP season he's had a couple of years ago. The only bright spot on that team right now, Christian McCaffrey. You know, and I honestly just think they really are running their offense through solely through him. Their wide receivers, I'm not sure if any
abysmal.
Of them are stepping up. Yeah, abysmal.
Young. But Devin Funchess is disappointing.
DJ Moore is legit.
Curtis
Funchess, Funchess is invisible.
They don't have a number one receiver.
Does Funchess play? Was he out there? I didn't see him out there. They go with, I think they go with Jarius Wright, DJ Moore.
Funchess has been dealing with an injury, to be fair, but
still he's not a number one
receiver.
Curtis
Samuel. There you go. Those are your three receivers right there.
Definitely not elite. Definitely not elite.
Yes, he did play. The pick in the end zone. Throwing up for Funchess.
Right.
And he got intercepted, so there you go.
You look at the Panthers, they've lost, what, six in a row since that pounding they took in Pittsburgh? We talk about it almost every week on the podcast. But before then, everyone was talking about them as a dark horse contender, kind of a dark horse Super Bowl contender that everyone was talking about, that no one was talking about, excuse me. And now it's just completely fell apart. It's like one of those graphs with the stock market, or not the stock market, but just you know the emoji,
yes.
The emoji with the chart starts at the top, goes boop, and then all the way down to the bottom. I mean, that's been the Panthers' season. If
trending downward,
downwards.
That's really described the Panthers since Super Bowl 50. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I have a question for you. I saw on First Take. Has Cam Newton peaked? Because
I think he peaked.
I think he may.
He has. And
he's obviously still got a lot left in the tank, but.
You know what it is?
I think he's played his best football in his career already.
You know what it is? He was so good in the beginning of his career, using his legs. He's just been a very accurate, good thrower, sits in the pocket, is able to elude tacklers, and just I think the injuries are catching up with this guy. He's a 6'5 quarterback. He's mobile, but he gets hit a lot, and I think he's just been taking a beating. And, you know, he just can't sustain the level of play that he's had in the earlier parts of his career. And I think he's on a trend downward just like Carolina. I don't think that he's going to be awful. I just think if the question is, has he peaked, he might have. Yeah. But their offensive line's a little weak too. So it's all about the offensive line.
You know, when he was a rookie quarterback, some analysts said that he had the best rookie season of any quarterback. And it's kind of interesting to see how far the Panthers have fallen since then, how much his offensive line and wide receivers have given up on him now. And it's just astounding sometimes just see such a promising team fall.
Talk about a promising team falling. Maybe it's not the Patriots' year. Patriots lost. They've lost two in a row. 17-10 defeat to the Pittsburgh Steelers last week at Heinz Field. Obviously a tough place to win. But the Patriots have owned the Steelers in recent matchups. Tom Brady has been a wizard against Pittsburgh recently, but Big Ben and the Steelers figured it out. The defense stepped up, only allowing 10 points against New England, and that offense just doesn't look like a Tom Brady, Bill Belichick offense right now. The little dink and dunk, the pick plays just aren't there. Gronk doesn't seem like himself. He seems banged up, maybe a candidate to retire soon. The guy's had a great career. You can't take anything away from Gronk. He was definitely the best tight end in the league for at least 5 years. But injuries, it's all about injuries. These guys are aging. As we get older, these guys get older. When we were younger in middle school, beginning of high school, these guys were dominant. Talk about injuries. Look at Calvin Johnson. That guy was elite. Probably the best wide receiver in the NFL at the time. But you know what? Sometimes your body just gives up. You don't want to take the beating anymore. You know what I mean? Maybe Gronk. Maybe it's time. But those weapons aren't good enough either for Brady. You know, Michelle and White are great out of the backfield, but Julian Edelman's your number one, and who are you going to for your number two?
Not Josh Gordon anymore.
It's Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett. It's not great. They're in trouble.
I mean, you can say they're in trouble. They definitely don't look great, like you said about Gronk. I mean, there were rumors after the Super Bowl last year that he was going to retire, but we'll see what happens. I think he's definitely played his best football. Talk about a guy who's peaked, and he had one of the highest peaks a tight end has ever had. He's definitely the most talented tight end that I've ever seen in my time watching football.
Agreed.
But, Tony Gonzalez?
Don't really remember prime Tony Gonzalez, but I'm saying in my time religiously watching football. But you talk about the Pats. They're 9-5 right now, and I've been penciling them in the AFC Championship every year, and I'm not going to not believe it until I actually see them lose in the wild card of the divisional round. Because you know when it comes January, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the Pats are playing a different brand of football. And like everyone says, they're falling off this year. They still got Brady. They still got Belichick. The defense coming together a little bit. We'll see what happens. But I'm definitely not counting the Pats out this early.
Yeah, they only allowed 17 points last week against the Steelers. But it's just interesting. New England wins that game against Pittsburgh.
Every year.
Last year. Look at what happened. You know,
they shouldn't have won that last year.
Yeah, well, that this year, this Jesse year, James, yeah. That would have been a catch, and Steelers
would be on a two-game winning streak versus the Pats.
Exactly.
If that rule was in.
But last year. New England just seems a little bit off right now. But we go from Gronk to another guy that has tight end eligibility in the Yahoo Fantasy League, Jalen Samuels. Talk about a kid who was drafted this year in the NFL draft. James Conner's out with an ankle injury. This kid steps up. 142 yards, and he was just an absolute animal on the ground. Extending drives, moving the chains for the Steelers, created a great balance for the Steelers between their pass game. And another guy that I want to talk about besides Samuels, you can hit on Samuels too, I know you want to talk, but Eli Rogers. You know, Steelers come out quick. They go five wide, which is tough for any team to defend. Unless your name's the kid Harmon, who has like seven picks against the Steelers. That guy's incredible in the secondary. But Eli Rogers, the guy just gives a little bit of versatility to that Steelers offense. Guy in the slot can work and catch the football, and he just gives the Steelers a third option at that wide receiver position. And shout out to my boy James Washington. Great catch. That's a makeup catch. I know I was bashing him on the podcast a few weeks ago. Not really bashing, more bashing people for yelling at Big Ben for criticizing what he said about James Washington. But redemption. Look at what happened. Look at what happens. You know, Big Ben, that was just a little nudging. You know, now look at him. Makes a great play down the sideline, extends a drive, and the Steelers beat the Patriots 17-10. That's how you do it, Big Ben. Leadership qualities.
Yeah, you hit on both guys I wanted to talk about, Doug. James Washington, we know the talent this guy has. He was one of the best receivers in college football last year at Oklahoma State, and three receptions for 65 yards. I mean, that was his breakout game. Three catches, 65 yards, not necessarily a great stat line for a receiver, but he did help the Steelers win that game, and there's no doubt about it. And the other guy, Jalen Samuels, I mean, this kid's just special. He's the third string running back for the Steelers, and you got to think with Bell gone next year, Connor and Samuels are the future for a long time to come for the Steelers. And Samuels, I remember him in college at NC State, this guy would do everything. Run, catch. I mean, he's very versatile. You see it with the Steelers, and 19 carries, 142 yards in his first career start. Yep. That's just remarkable. He won me fantasy. I'm sure he won a lot of other people too.
But, yeah, well, he'll be on my lineup as a tight end this week. So I'm looking for a breakfast sandwich. Gannon, I'm coming after that breakfast sandwich, so get ready for that.
There you go.
And especially going into the playoffs for the Steelers, because they're probably going to make it into the playoffs. You know, it's all about those guys that you don't really expect to play better or step up, you know, and it's all about X factors, true colors, and it's really important for the Steelers moving forward. They can't just rely on AB, James Conner, Juju, and Big Ben, and some of the players on that defense. They got to have those second string, third string guys stepping up, and I think those guys are definitely really going to help them going forward.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Steelers need help at that secondary position. Daron Harmon, if you're available, I don't know his contract, but doesn't seem like he's getting paid too much. The guy's a Steeler killer. You know, I bet that the Jets have a couple guys that have just destroyed them. I don't know, Julian Edelman.
Everyone who's ever played for the Pats.
Okay, yeah. There you go. Well, this kid, Daron Harmon, is incredible against the Steelers. I don't know. He picked off Ben last year in the heartbreaker. That was just devastating. And he had another two picks this week, last week against the Steelers. So, I mean, if that guy needs a job at the end of the year, I'd sign him. I'll sign him. He could be my personal secondary player. I don't know. Pass catcher. Do whatever you want.
IDP?
I don't know.
Fantasy? No, I'm just kidding.
IDP.
I've never been in the league with that before. Seems interesting.
You know what? I'll have him as my cornerback on my fantasy team next year.
How about it?
Oh, wow.
Daron Harmon, I love you.
I'm so confused.
Actually,
okay.
You're a Pat, so I don't really know how I feel about you. But you know what I mean. He's a great player. Kills the Steelers. Saturday, this week. More Saturday games. We love that. Don't really love that there's no Thursday game tonight, but...
Ridiculous.
It is a little bit.
It's a crime.
Blasphemy.
Okay, then. But let's talk Saturday. We've got an afternoon tilt and the nightcap. Washington,
stinks.
Tennessee. Not great. I mean,
Tennessee big. Not big.
Johnson?
Josh Johnson, good, great story. I really hope he does lead the Redskins to the playoffs. I wish it was my boy Sanchez, but obviously things not working out for him. Josh Johnson made his first start in, 7 years? Led him to a win in Jacksonville. I don't think this game will be a blowout, like I just said. It's a 10-point spread. I do think the Redskins cover. I don't think it'll be a necessarily entertaining game. I think it'll be pretty sloppy, and it's not a game I'm looking forward to say the least.
I think it's going to be minimum. It's going to be a tight game, low scoring, though. You know, the Redskins' offense really isn't tearing it up right now. Could kind of almost say the same for Tennessee right now. No one's really playing too well right now. No real standouts, actually. No recognizable faces on either team. In the end, though, probably Titans, you know. I'm believing in that somewhat productive offense right now with Corey Davis and Derrick Henry.
Corey Davis is a bust.
Henry's bringing it to the
what
end
a bum.
Three times.
That guy's so inconsistent.
Not three times.
But. Dude, the guy should be living in Dix Hills because all his stat is hills, 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 up and down. The guy's got to get consistent.
Mountains.
You're a number six overall pick in the draft. Figure it out. You've got the talent, okay? You've got the talent to be a beast. I want Corey Davis to come back next year and be a number one target and be an absolute animal in fantasy. You understand me?
Yes.
I do. I understand.
Because I draft these guys 1 year early every single time. And you know what?
For the Dix Hills Douglases?
You know what? That's my name next
That's
year.
Your next
the
new
Dix
name.
Hills
no,
Douglases.
No, you won't necessarily be. So some interesting, just one interesting thing here. The Titans running back, Derrick Henry, he had a franchise record 408 yards and 6 touchdowns in his past 2 games, which is that's really good. So, I mean, maybe that's a guy to look forward to maybe produce well during the game.
He's unbelievable. Derrick Henry, great player, great story after not really producing early on in his career, figuring it out this year. I'm like an AP in this matchup. I don't know. He's going to have to be big. Titans tough against the run, but I could just feel it. AP in that primetime spot, I'm loving it. I don't know. Saturday primetime.
Well, he needs 77 more yards of rushing to reach 1,000 for the season for the first time since 2015.
So I think we'll get that. I don't think I'll have a monster fantasy game, but I think the Redskins do need to ride him if they have any chance of winning.
Fair
or
enough.
Saturday in fantasy.
Fair enough. Let's go to the night game. A much better contest between Baltimore and the Chargers. Both teams fighting for playoff positioning. Baltimore at 8-6, second in the AFC North behind the Steelers. And L.A., those Chargers playing great football recently, right behind Kansas City. Just beat Kansas City, as we spoke about. This game could be
a dandy.
Yep.
Every time Lamar Jackson is on TV, for me, it's appointment television ever since his sophomore season at Louisville a couple years back. That guy's just sensational to watch. He is electric. I mean, he's making cutbacks like quarterbacks don't make in the league since Michael Vick. If there's been anyone since Michael Vick who's been running like Lamar Jackson, I'd like to see it. But Lamar
Josh Allen.
Different style runner. You know what I mean. But yeah. Lamar Jackson, very fun to watch. I'm excited to watch him against a Chargers defense that has been pretty good. This whole year.
A lot of scouts were knocking Lamar Jackson on his arm strength, but
I was always saying that was ridiculous, by the way. Guy can play. Yeah. He can throw, too.
Five touchdowns,
throw,
three picks.
Watch the games,
It's a weak stat line.
No.
Steelers fan. Go ahead, Kyle
Steelers fan. Yeah, we talk about the Steelers a lot, you know?
Of course we do.
That's true. Yeah, we do talk. Okay, so since Lamar Jackson's taken over from Joe Flacco, he's rushed for 427 yards with 2 touchdowns, and he's been paired up with Gus Edwards, who has 486 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns, the same span. So they're definitely a nice little pair over there, and they're going to help that team out.
On paper, it looks like Chargers should get this win. They're at home. I mean, they're at the StubHub Center, which is not really a home game, but
should be a neutral site.
Yeah, it's like a neutral site. But you
know
what?
There'll be a lot of Ravens fans.
The Chargers know how to win on the road. They went into the.
The Chargers know how to win. Period.
Yeah, they went into Pittsburgh, got a win. They went into Kansas City, got a win. I mean, what else do you want? I'm thinking that they're going to win this game. It should be a close one. I mean, both teams are looking to sneak into that playoff. Chargers should be. Let's just imagine if the Chargers win their next two, they're 13-3. You'd assume Kansas City doesn't lose. So now both teams are at 13-3, and the Chargers would be a wild card team. They'd be the 5 seed.
Let's say Kansas City loses at Seattle this week. That's no gimme.
I mean, Seattle at home, Russell Wilson, their defense playing pretty well, and the run game.
Chris Carson has been outstanding.
Totally.
I mean, Chris Spielman, I think the announcer on Sunday during the 49ers Seahawks game, was saying Carson is his favorite player of the league because the guy just has no quit in him. If you haven't seen that 1 yard touchdown he had against the 49ers, you're doing yourself a disjustice. You got to look it up. you got to watch it. This guy broke three tackles from a yard out. It was remarkable. He was going down in the field. He was getting tackled. Then he got up. It was just, I can't even describe it to you. Look it up. Watch it. You'll be wowed.
Okay.
I mean, this one.
Watch it right now, Mike.
Well, I can't because it'll go on the podcast. I'll watch later.
This 1 o'clock slate.
Grotesque.
To say the bare minimum.
I like the Texans-Eagles game. I do think that one should be pretty good. But I'll be watching the Jets. I'll be watching my boy Sam Darnold, who looked pretty great against the Texans defense last week. And not many quarterbacks have great games against Houston. He was the leading scoring quarterback in fantasy. Wow. Sam Darnold was.
Just beat out Josh Allen.
Just beat out Josh Allen.
You ought to check out the fantasy football breakdown. I don't even know what you guys are even doing if you're not watching that. Or if you're not listening to that.
We got
to
have the upcoming freshman continue that.
Yeah, that doesn't you better be continuing that.
That
show
doesn't even make sense.
We're gonna come back and we're gonna yell.
Because how would you know that?
I'm genuinely scared next year. Why? You know, if I don't do the
You're in on the fantasy football breakdown. Don't even give me. Don't even give me that.
By yeah, way, you'll be in. We're the seniors. We get to tell them.
How would anybody know that Darnold was the leading quarterback last week if Ben didn't just say it right now?
I wouldn't.
You would have known because you produced the fantasy football breakdown.
Do you think I pay attention?
Well, that's why.
Wow.
That's
I pay attention at some parts, but I have to make sure the broadcast is working smoothly. Ben and Doug, if I wasn't watching making sure everything's working smoothly, then nothing would go well. So sometimes I tune out.
All right, let's move on. Darnold, great young quarterback, could be great franchise guy for the Jets for many years to come. 4 o'clock games, nothing really that exciting. I mean, L.A., Arizona. I mean,
blowout.
You got Steelers Saints though, 425.
Yeah, I mean Chicago San Fran would have been a nice game if Garoppolo was playing. You know, you have to think about where San Fran would be if he was still
don't
there.
Don't discredit my boy Mullins.
I'm not. I'm just saying Garoppolo is legit.
That connection is strong.
But probably the game of the week: Steelers New Orleans. Steelers coming in off that win. They've had a couple tough games. Just the schedule's been brutal. Going into New Orleans, good win against Carolina, knocking them out of the playoffs. And, I mean, what else can you expect? I mean, this is game of the week. Could be the game of the season.
At NOLA?
Yeah.
It's in New Orleans.
Oh,
yes.
That's going to be a tough but crucial game for the Steelers to win. You know, Saints with that high-powered offense. Steelers have a pretty good defense, but you think they could stop Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, Kamara, Ingram. You know, this is a must-win game for both teams in it. More so for the Steelers, though.
Yeah, agreed. Baltimore breathing right down the Steelers' necks, and it's a little scary.
Man, I mean, I want to pick the Steelers, especially after last week, but I just can't. The Saints at home in big games in the Superdome, that crowd will be rocking. Drew Brees, different animal at home. That defense, also a different animal at home. It'll be very tough for the Steelers. I think it will be a very close game, but I have the Saints pulling away at the end.
It's a 6-point line.
I think it'll be closer than that.
Fair enough. I agree.
Saints 24. Actually, Saints 31. Steelers 27.
Okay. Fair enough.
Gotta give a score prediction.
I mean, I'm a Steeler fan, so obviously I'll just be biting my nails throughout the game, just yelling at the screen. I'm not going to give a prediction. No, whatever. Should be a great game.
Steelers 100, Saints nothing. That should be your that should be your mentality.
Should be a great game, really exciting. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on the call.
Ew.
Most likely.
No,
is it a CBS?
CBS it is. Steelers are the road team. It should be CBS. AFC road teams.
Sometimes they switch it up, though.
Yeah, but usually the deal is AFC road teams on CBS, NFC
Let me see
road
what it says
team
here.
On Fox.
Yeah, CBS. So Tony Romo and
Jim Nantz.
Jim Nantz.
I was going to say, if you got to listen to Joe Buck, you might as well just listen to the Spanish version. you might get a little more out of it.
You're not a fan of Joe Buck.
Not at all.
By the way, Joe Buck is a very good announcer.
He is.
No, he's not.
He's not.
He's
awful.
A great announcer.
What are you talking about?
I did not like him for a while because of his dislike towards the Yankees.
He just sucks in baseball.
He is a very talented announcer. There's no denying that.
You don't just become the lead broadcaster on a sports network like Fox and not be good.
Yes, but he's also the most hated broadcaster in sports.
That too,
but he gets the job done. And he's very good.
Get it done.
Okay.
And he's got great hair too. Whatever he's done, he's Looking great with that.
We got the next Joe Buck.
He's looking great. He's looking great with that blonde hair too. Sometimes he's got that nice mustache too. I don't know what he did. He styled it up.
I don't know. But, I don't really enjoy talking about Joe Buck.
Good for Joe Buck. Great broadcaster. So the NFL slate, not great. Steelers, New Orleans could be a good one. But let's move on to another topic.
Going to move into baseball.
Yes.
No.
Not a lot.
Fine. Quick.
Just a little bit.
Quick.
Just it's going to be a little bit in terms of just to wrap it up. Not much has happened in the last week. Just you got to just hit on Wilson Ramos. Just want to say good deal for the Mets. I'm happy that they managed to upgrade at catcher.
Franchise nice cornerstone right there.
Well, I mean, he'll be better than Darnold. That's okay, all I care about.
He'll be better.
So, you know,
he's the
least,
best option for you guys.
Yeah, and I like that they ended up just giving up on Real Muto. I think it's just a smart thing, and Brody's happy about it, and so am I. I'm glad that we're just moving on, but we still got to make sure that he stays healthy. The other thing that you guys were pointing on was Michael Brantley. Ben, I know you wanted him
advocating
to be.
Advocating for him, yeah.
Yeah, getting signed by the Astros. I think that's an interesting deal. The Astros are very complex outfield with Springer, Mariznick, and Reddick. But you know that Reddick's not going to produce for long, and Mariznick's really just good for his glove. So I'm sure that they're going to utilize Brantley a lot, and I think he could definitely help out that offense. But that's pretty much it in terms of the MLB, if you guys want to
Michael.
Yeah, Brantley, I wanted Brantley before the Yanks went out and signed Gardner. I didn't want Gardner. We have Gardner. It is what it is. We have six outfielders. With Ellsbury and hopefully Clint Frazier coming back into the equation. I want to see him play.
Your boy.
Yeah, Machado, Graffa. Mm-hmm. I mean, hour and a half meeting yesterday, not very long. I didn't know what to think of that. And then they went out to dinner with him though, last night. So, I don't know. The Yankees were the betting favorite a few days ago. I don't know if I see it, though. I think Philly's just going to go out there. They're going to give him more money. And I really don't know what's going to happen.
They got a lot
Cashman doesn't show his cards. What?
Yeah, Philly's got lots of money to throw around. And
a ton.
Toss it a lot of Machado.
Yeah, I think honestly, I do think that the underdogs who are going to end up pulling him in is the White Sox. I mean, yeah, they have Moncada, but you got to think, you know, if you're the organization of the White Sox, you got to pick Manny Machado or you want Moncada. You're going to get a guy in Machado who you're going to sign for a long-term deal, who's definitely going to play better than Moncada most likely. Then you can trade Moncada for a guy who's going to be a top-notch starting pitcher like a Madison Bumgarner, you know, because there's no way that you're going to be keeping him if you sign Machado, because he's not going to want to play anywhere but short. So, you know what? It's going to come down to the wire, but I'm still sticking with the White Sox. I'm going pretty firm on that one. I don't think the Yankees are going to end up getting him. I think if the White Sox don't, then I do think it'll be going down to the Phillies. But he doesn't really like the Phillies that they signed Gene Segura. Well, traded for him because he's going to be playing shortstop. So we'll see what goes from here.
I just think right now the White Sox are so meh. They're like,
they really are, but they're
like
they do,
hot,
they do
they're
a lot
like
of money,
in
though.
The shadows behind the Cubs.
They're the Cubs' little brother.
I just don't think that Manny would want to go there.
But they got a huge
But I mean,
future.
They have money, but yeah. You know what? You got to think about this. Does he want to lose any more baseball? He just came from a franchise that lost the most games.
Yeah, but you got to think about it. The Orioles sucked and they had no future. The White Sox are going to be a contending team for years to come once
what
they have
future?
Those guys coming up. No. Yeah, they do. They have so many guys in that farm system. They've got, didn't they?
They had that one starting pitcher that came up.
Yeah, they've got a few
legit.
Guys. I can't think about it right now. I'm just like blank.
But you know what? You know what? You could have a great farm system and still fail.
Absolutely.
There's a bunch of teams that have a bunch of prospects that just never gel together. And never mind. We'll move on. Sorry, Mike. But I think Michael Brantley, underrated, extremely good player, could be a difference maker in the playoffs next year. I mean, the guy's a 300 hitter.
Yes, he's got to make it back, though.
And you know what? Another 300 hitter that if the Yankees don't sign, I'm going to rip my hair out. Daniel Murphy better be in pinstripes next year.
I think that's a smart deal.
The guy
it won't be that expensive either.
Yeah,
the
right.
guy's
he's
an outstanding
really under-
hitter. Professional hitter. He's going to hit 300 for you. Not a great glove, but you know what? I'll take the defensive liability for a guy that can actually hit the ball, keep it inside the park, make contact, drive in runners. You know, look at what the Red Sox did. We spoke about it after they won the World Series. They were able to get the big hit, able to score runners with, I mean, I guess we could put it in, it's kind of small ball now that bunting and stealing is kind of out of the equation for most teams. Just little dink and dunks, base hits, moving runners along is really not a huge part of the game. It's all about home runs. I want to see Daniel Murphy in pinstripes. And Marwin Gonzalez is another guy, utility guy. Ronald Torres traded away. Actually, now he's, I believe, a free agent after he was cut by the Cubs.
Two teams.
Still, Yankees without a utility man right now, could bring back Neil Walker, but Marwin Gonzalez, a little bit steeper price, but I think he could be legit if the Yankees are looking for a guy. But Machado, haven't really heard anything. He's been meeting with a bunch of teams. And if the Yankees were able to secure a deal there, I think Andujar might be on the move. And Corey Kluber's name has come up, at least in my mind, as that guy's a bona fide ace. And if you can move Andujar, I understand Andujar probably should have been the AL Rookie of the Year, has a great future ahead of him, can definitely improve at third base. But Manny Machado's already established.
He's
the guy's
better.
A 26-year-old outstanding fielder, great hitter, could bat third for years to come. And you know what? You got to give to get. If you want Kluber as your ace going into the playoffs, I mean, I do.
You got Kluber, you've one of the best rotations.
J.A. Happ is your fifth starter.
If you get Kluber, you're the best team in baseball. It's sad. But if the Yankees get Machado and then they trade Andujar for Kluber, I'm just going to pencil in a Yankees World Series.
I mean, that's just me fantasizing about what could happen.
No,
it never happens.
No, I think that could, though, honestly. If they sign Machado, the Indians really do have a need for young talent, and I think Andujar would fit in perfectly there. They don't have a third baseman. They have nobody. They've got Jose Ramirez playing second, Lindor playing short, and they have nobody at third. So they need a third baseman, and they're willing to get rid of Kluber for him. So you know what? That would be a beautiful trade for both teams, and it would benefit them both immensely. And you know what? It would bring a World Series to the Bronx, and I'll be sitting here disappointed texting you guys next year saying, well, you were right. Topic of the week now?
Constantine, do you want to feed anything back to the MLB?
You know.
No? Okay.
Okay.
I meant no for the topic of the week yet.
You know what? I don't understand why they trade Kluber right now. You know what? They need a third baseman, and I honestly don't understand why the Yankees would trade Andujar right now with the possible future that he has in pinstripes. I like their rotation right now. It would get nicer if they had Kluber, but I think they could really get Bumgarner and then keep Andujar right now.
Wow.
Bumgarner would be unreal.
That's a huge prize. I'd take him instead of getting Machado, because Bumgarner's more consistent, and you know that he's not going to make your team look like more bigger jerks than they already are.
Oh, come on.
We'll see what happens.
You're biased.
There's a lot of scenarios.
There is. There's a lot. And, you know, as you said, Cashman's always – he's never showing his hand. So things can go in a million different directions. They can go out, get Marwin Gonzalez and Daniel Murphy and not even go for Machado. You know, anything can really happen.
I want Machado so bad. You know what?
I won a World Series bad too, Doug.
I think Bryce Harper's in hiding. I haven't heard anything from that guy since the winter meetings.
Yeah, no one's, because he's asking for way too much. He wants a 10-year contract worth $350 million, and no one's willing to give it to him.
What team's going to pay him that?
No.
White Sox.
There was a potential offer that I saw today, not real. It was just like someone was thinking about it, that the Mets could offer like a $350 over 10 for like a four-year deal where he gets paid $15 million a year with a four-year opt-out. And then after that, if he decides to stay, he gets paid $45 million a year. And you know, that's a very team favorable team, and I think deal. And I think anybody who would be willing to do that's a beneficial contract. $15 million a year, and then they end up paying him a lot afterwards.
You were just bashing this guy last week.
I don't want him on the Mets. I don't want him. I'm saying in general, if somebody was going to get him, that's probably a great deal to get him if they don't want to spend as much money.
Whatever happens, you got two future Hall of Famers entering their prime, age 26. Should be interesting to see where they sign.
I'm disappointed with this offseason so far. I thought it would be fireworks right out the bat. These are two of the best players in the MLB right now.
Best players of the
generation.
And
teams are just sitting around, feeling them out, seeing what's going to happen. And we'll see how many more podcasts we go before we can officially say that one of these guys is signed. I don't know when it's going to be.
Next year we might actually have him on.
You know what,
teams.
Constantine, you can lead the podcast next year and talk about Manny Machado signing, because I don't think it's going to happen.
Because it's not going to happen this year for sure. Yeah.
We'll be shipped out of here before that happens.
Probably.
Yep.
Yeah, so topic of the week. Let's go.
Topic of the week.
Wait. Before we start, okay. I did want to say a little NBA college hoops. One note on the NBA, the Brooklyn Nets, 7 in a row. Don't sleep on them. Went over LeBron the other night.
Legit.
Finished up the back-to-back with the road win at Chicago last night. 7 in a row, half game out of a playoff spot, 2 games out of the sixth seed. And just a little college hoops note. Big game tonight, number 12 Texas Tech versus number 2 Duke. Zion making his debut at the Garden. Definitely will be tuned into that one. And Mike, you can go ahead.
Okay. Got some decent ones here. What is your favorite dessert, Ben? If you want to use chocolate chip cookies, you can, but I prefer to keep it a little more diverse. But I'm not trying to shut you down like I did last week. Favorite dessert for me, there's a lot of them. I'm really a nice big dessert guy, but I got to go for the good old chocolate chip cookie pizza. You gotta love it. I mean, it's like chocolate chip cookie in a piece.
Oh, the
shape.
cookie pie. Yeah. Right,
no, not that one. The one that you heat up and you put ice cream on it.
Wow. So it's like a cookie brownie.
It's a deep dish cookie, pretty much. It's
Mike,
really good.
Mike, if you want to bring it in for us,
I mean, I would love to, but we don't have a microwave.
We'd be delighted for our new show, Schmooze and Feast.
I would love to do that if we can get permission to put an oven in here.
Well, I don't think that will be happening.
Exactly. So, but you know what? Maybe
those easy bake ovens.
Yeah. Sneak it in. Hide under the table.
Brilliant idea. Ben, give me it.
All right. You want me to move away from chocolate chip cookies? I will. I'm going to go with a nice little bowl of ice cream. Vanilla with rainbow sprinkles is obviously a good one. Rainbow sprinkles is only on a soft serve, though. I don't get sprinkles on the ones from the freezer.
Yeah, right.
Double Dunker is a great flavor. I don't know if you've ever had that one. It's like coffee, chocolate swirl, Oreo, and cookie dough. Cookie dough is a great flavor. There's so many great flavors of ice cream.
Ice cream is so underrated.
It really is.
Sometimes it has a bad rep. Ice cream's outstanding.
Because I feel like people think too much about the hard serve instead of the soft serve. Soft serve ice cream is like 10 times better, and I don't think anybody can really say it.
Favorite dessert. I forget what it's called, but every time I went to Ruby Tuesdays, I think it was, they'd have like a chocolate cake with like chocolate... kind of like a chocolate, I forget what it's called.
Sauce?
Yeah, I don't know what it's called,
what
but in like the middle.
Oh, lava cake. It's
lava
cake.
Lava cake, that's what it's called.
Oh, those are incredible.
Outstanding.
Outstanding. I have one
Fantastic.
Last week.
Fantastic.
You know what? I'm going to get healthy here. My favorite dessert.
Little bowl of fruit?
It's a bowl of strawberries with whipped cream on top.
That's not bad, though.
I mean, if you haven't had that, I mean, that's a great
dessert. You're not living.
Really incredible. You know? Strawberries are delicious.
They are.
Next.
Do you think that that humans on Earth will ever inhabit another planet?
Yes.
Yes.
Which one?
Mars.
Cool.
What other planet?
Mars.
I agree.
Are we counting the moon?
I mean, yeah.
We're living on the moon.
Yeah, the moon.
I think that'd be cool to have like a nice little like, you can look up into the sky, see like things on the moon.
And wait, how about this? How about this twist on your question? All right? We got people living on the moon or Mars. And you're playing for the Lakers. You travel out to the game to play the Moonstars, and you know
that's a far commute.
And the NBA Finals.
Well, they're starting.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
Come NBA on. Finals held on Mars.
Yeah, they're starting commercial space travel now, though. So who knows? Right now,
that'd be cool.
Commercial space travel.
That's sick.
We should do a podcast from space.
Final edition in space.
You know what? It's all about the sun.
If the sun
dies out, we won't have enough time to create technology that can allow us to live and sustain.
What do we got? Like a billion years for that?
We've got more than a billion. It's like 17 billion.
All right, we're chilling.
I think from Earth science years ago.
You know what? We're innovating. Technology's expanding.
Innovation that excites.
Yes. Yeah. We're figuring it out. You never know. It's possible.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it could happen. The movie Martian, that guy lived on there for a little while. I mean, he almost died a bunch of times, but...
With the proper equipment.
He grew his own food out of his... What did he...
I didn't watch it, so I have no idea.
No spoilers.
No,
you can spoil.
I don't think we're going to watch it.
Never gonna watch who's going to watch
it? We watched about half of it, and then public speaking ended. The course just ended, so we never got to finish.
Good class.
Really good class, you know?
I recommend. Yeah. Actually, no. It's required.
Well, Constantine has to take it.
Taking it right now. Podcasting and public speaking.
It's required.
Right now,
so and you know what? Idea. We should be going into those classes.
We
and,
need to.
And recruiting.
Well, yeah. Rashudi had an idea about that in the beginning of the year. I think that'd be cool. A nice little field trip to go down and do a podcast in front of these guys. Show them what it takes.
Great.
Electric.
You know what? That would be a 40-minute podcast.
That would be fun.
That's about where we're at.
No.
Nah,
we're
about
45.
Yeah, today we're
really over right now.
We're pushing.
Now.
We're pushing. But let's
okay.
Give me another one.
One more.
A good one.
What is one food that you absolutely cannot stand? I'm going fish. Any fish. Like except for tuna. I love tuna.
Salmon is mad good.
I cannot stand fish. Like even especially sushi. Can't stand it. Disgusting.
For me, it's peanut butter. I hate peanut butter.
I love peanut butter.
Really?
I can't stand the peanut butter. The smell, I just don't like peanut butter. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people like peanut butter. It's nothing against you. It's just, I just don't like peanut butter.
Fun fact, even if you're not allergic to peanut butter, having a spoonful of peanut butter actually cures the hiccups. Pretty interesting.
I'll take the hiccups.
I've tried it. It's pretty cool.
That is interesting. Wait, I didn't know that.
It's cool.
Thank you.
I tried it one time.
See what you learn on the Colts Corner podcast?
It's incredible. Yeah, this is going to sound such like a five-year-old answer, but broccoli. You know?
I love broccoli.
I think broccoli's outstanding.
It really is. Really? Put some Parmesan cheese on it.
Yep. Well, I mean, really? there goes the health factor of it. I mean,
yeah, makes it taste better, now. But I do like plain broccoli, too.
You know what? Maybe put a little salt on there.
Yeah.
Burn it.
There goes your cholesterol.
Burn it. Burn it. Burn your vegetables. Tastes better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll try that next time.
And Doug, before you go, my brother usually here contributing to this question. I'm talking to him. He's not feeling too well, or he's home for whatever reason. But he said his favorite dessert is cannoli. Will humans ever live on another planet? Yes. And one food he can't stand, quote, tomatoes. Absolutely horrendous.
What? Yeah, that's my food.
But I don't like tomatoes either. I love tomato sauce, but like...
Tomatoes, cucumbers, and avocados.
I hate avocados, but I do avocados.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm just not a huge fan. I think they're too healthy tasting for me. they don't sit well.
Have you ever had a cucumber with ranch?
Yeah, I hate cucumbers.
All right, fine.
I can deal with cucumbers. I don't know why everyone's saying tomatoes, though.
I like tomatoes. But
I don't like
vinegar. Yeah. Tomatoes and vinegar, disgusting. I could eat it all day.
Grotesque. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you know, grotesque.
Okay. That was a good one. We had some good ones.
Yeah.
Before Ryan went, he said, before Ryan left today, he said it was going to be a big podcast, and I guess it was.
It was.
It was pretty legit today.
It was definitely good.
The Lazy Cast. That's what we need to call it.
The Lazy
Cast. Of course. That's the title for today.
Mike, if I want to sit in a chair, I can sit in a chair, right? And as always, we would like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ashuti, Dr. Catapano and the administration, the Board of Education, our audience who listens every Thursday. And finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon alongside our always reliable producer, Mikey Stats, Doug Satuka, Constantine, Brian, we miss you today. And this is it for the year. Thank you for joining us in 2018. We will see you next year. Happy holidays.